Okay, guys, thanks for showing up today. We didn't have food, and we have a great crowd, so that's wonderful. Nice day to be out and be out running around. Today's lesson is going to come out of the book, The Tender Warrior. And it's we ran out of chapters in the Four Pillars of a Man, so Bob asked me if I would take something out of this and prepare a word for us today. So if you've not read this, if you enjoyed the Four Pillars of a Man's Heart, this is just as good. It's the same author, Stu Weber. Men, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile when you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a man has turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. You can't give up, though the pace seems slow, you might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to the faint and faltering man. Often the struggle he had given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silvery tint on the clouds of doubt. You may never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Have you ever felt like quitting? I have. Have you ever felt like quitting on your marriages? Have you ever felt like quitting your job or even quitting on a friend when things don't go right? How about quitting on God? I can honestly say that I have never felt like quitting on God. See, because I love the life that He has given me. On November the 18th, 1979, at a little Baptist church in Oakford, Indiana, God saved my soul, and He saved my wife's soul at the same time. And the irony of that is that we weren't having marital problems. Sometimes that happens in two people, and that's okay as long as they make a commitment to the Lord. He delivered me of alcohol. He delivered me of bad language, anger, and unforgiveness, and pretty women. But let me qualify that, okay? He didn't deliver me of my beautiful wife, and my beautiful daughters, and my three beautiful granddaughters. He made our relationship better. But He did deliver me of some things that's just between He and I. Things that I don't even want to think about or talk about. And He forgave me for those things. And He set my feet on a solid rock. He gives me a peace that passes all understanding and a joy unspeakable. Unbelievable hope, unconceivable stability, an unimaginable future. God's promises to me and you says, I have fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will present to me in that day. And guys, besides that, I'm chicken. No guts. See, I believe there's a fine line between God's fear and respect, between His love and His grace, and His chastisements. And I don't really want to take a chance. I want to finish strong for His sake and for mine. I don't want to putt-putt into heaven on two cylinders. I want to go full bore on eight cylinders. In order to do that, I have to keep myself tuned up and ready for the challenges He places before me, or the challenges He allows to be placed before me. Want to have real joy on your Christian journey? Get busy for Jesus. I'm thankful. As soon as I had made a commitment to Christ, I got involved in ministry. I've served on a lot of ministries over the last 33 years. I started out working in youth camps for 7 or 8 years. I sang with the Peacemakers for almost 18 years and served with the Fellowship of Christian Police Officers also. And when we retired the group, I ended up at the Kokomo Great Banquet, and I've been serving there since 2000 for 12 years. If you want real joy, guys, get involved in serving in a ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. I love serving at Huddle. Every once in a while I get to speak, which is good because it gets me back in the Word where I really have to tune myself up. But also, it's just a great opportunity to share. And my biggest joy is at the table, being able to participate and to be a part of sharing God's Word with you guys. See, there's nothing better for me than to share Jesus with others. When God calls me, I want to be talking about Jesus, watching IU basketball, as Cody Zeller slams one home, or Victor Oladipo takes it to the hoop, and we beat Kentucky. Now see, I used to say Purdue for all you Purdue fans, but let me tell you something. God delivered me of that. He really did, and I mean, that is a conviction, because you know what, guys? I've seen many, many friendships not grow to the extent they could because of IU basketball and Purdue basketball. And Andy's laughing right now, but I shared that story with him one time when I wore an IU sweater in there, and he said something about it, and I said, you know, Andy, God delivered me of that. And that's the truth. See, I remember hearing the story about Jesse Dunn, our friend Jesse. He was a man of God, and he shared God's Word, and when God took him home, he was listening to his beloved Wildcats. What a way, you know. You can be happy on both ends. But see, guys, life is not always easy. It gets difficult sometimes. When we get the pity-patting and whining, we need to just deal with it. God's not going to put any more on us than we can withstand, pressing on for Jesus. Our life is too rich and too important to waste it whining. That's the way finishers talk. Finishing strong is a rare, valuable commodity. Completing the task, staying till the final whistle, never walking away, no drifting, no waffling, stick-to-itism, perseverance, and standing strong, no looking back. See, perseverance is inspiring. Trying to live a Christ-honoring life while experiencing hardship can frustrate us and discourage us. I can't explain why the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and I can't explain why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. I just know that they do. But why do we wait and try to work it out ourselves? It must be a man thing. God says to cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When we depend on God to help us through our difficulties, we are empowered to keep going even when we can't see the resolutions to our problems. In Galatians 6:9, He reminds us not to grow weary in well-doing. And He encourages us to give up. Is not to give up. Is God using something insurmountable in your life to produce perseverance? Romans 5:3-4 says, tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Don't quit. The victory may be just around the corner. Forgetting the failures of the past, pressing on for Jesus' high calling. Our world needs more finishers. We need to finish the course that God laid out for us. Wouldn't it be great for all of us to say, like Jesus said, I have glorified Thee on earth, O Lord. I have finished the work which Thou hast gavest me to do. John 17:4. I want Jesus' words to be mine, don't you? I love the game of basketball. I think about finishers, guys like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Kobe Bryant, and Reggie Miller. They're finishers. They kept their eye on the prize and they worked hard and went with it. They were finishers. I'll bet they had times that they wanted to quit also. It's the same for us Christians. It takes effort and it takes work. Ask Tim Tebow and Anthony Thomas. They are pressing on for Jesus. The good news is they're not finished yet. Do we put as much effort into our Christian walk as our family relationships, as we do our golf game? Now we're meddling, aren't we? Finishing strong, keeping an eye on the prize, looking to the author and the finisher, Jesus, to see us through. Want to know how to live for Jesus? Read Jesus' Word. Read the red letter print. Get to know Jesus and who He is and what He expects from us. In Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 and Matthew 7 is a great place to start, guys. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And that's where He was instructing His disciples on what they should do. So when the Lord laid that up on my heart, I really got into the red word. And for the last several days, I've just read the red word. That's Jesus' words, and it can't get any better than that. He'll help us walk our talk and talk our walk. See, it's great to have mentors, and there are a lot of mentors in here, and a lot of men I like, a lot of men I respect. In Jim Butcher's talk, Jim cautioned us to use God's Word when we mentor. Not just any word or thought, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable to reproof and conviction of sin, correction of error, discipline in disobedience, training in righteousness, so that the man of God will complete a proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Jerry Van Auken talked about soul knitting. We need mentor friends to help us through life, loyal, humble, protecting friends, provisional friends, spiritual growth friends. These friends and mentors and soul knitters are important to our spiritual growth. I want to tell you about another friend that sticks closer than a brother. We really need Jesus to be our friend, our mentor, and our knit, and knit our soul together with His. How? Read Jesus' words. Read the red letter print in order to knit our souls together. President John Kennedy said, "A man does what he must in spite of personal consequences, in spite of obstacles and dangers and pressures, and that is the basis of all human morality." And God says, "You want the way, the truth, and the life? Read the red print. Live by His Word. Be a strong finisher. Consume His Word deep into your soul. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not unto your own understandings, and in all ways acknowledges Him, and He will direct your pathways." No matter how weak and sorry and how much of a failure our past has been, God has given us the rest of our lives to finish strong, because He is more concerned about our present and future than about our past. How? With the Bible firmly grasped in our hand, following God wholeheartedly. I love sports. I'm a gamer. I have played about every sport. I've about worn my legs out. But I really love racquetball. And I've played a lot with Doc Lasbury back there over the years, and we both about wore our bodies out. And if you haven't noticed, I'm getting old. And I tore the meniscus in my right knee 2 times playing racquetball. I've been gimping around the court lately. I'm not the fiery inferno I used to be in on the court, and in more ways than one. Although all the gray hairs, they kind of pick up on that. And I may be an over-the-hill, lame duck wannabe athlete, but I don't want to be an over-the-hill, lame duck wannabe Christian. All the way for me, no putting into heaven for me. Are you with me? If so, press on with me. Let's see it through till Jesus comes. It's every man's purpose and every woman's dream and every child's hope and God's desire for us. No matter where we've been, how much we have failed, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation and our sins are covered by His blood. And I have some things penciled in here that the God gave me before I came, and I'm going to try to do Him well with it. Because I believe, guys, that the biggest problem that we have in finishing strong is the lust of the eye. We lust after big screen TVs. We lust after new cars. We lust after motorcycles. We lust after everything. Because we want it all. We have been raised in a generation that we've had it all. But you know what, God? That's not what He spoke to me about. He spoke to me about some verses in Matthew. Matthew 5. You have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And if their right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. See, he takes sexual sin very seriously. And then he led me to another passage of Scripture that I've never picked up on this, but I hope I interpret it correctly. And it's found in Matthew 6:22, and it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I think what he's saying there is if our eye is set on God, then our body will be full of His light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I think that the biggest sin guys have is pornography. And when we look at pornography with our eyes, that darkness, that evilness comes into our heart, because out of the heart is the wellspring of life. And it says that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. If we have sin in our life, there is no way we can be right with God. It doesn't mean we're not saved, and it doesn't mean that we're not going to heaven. It means that we are not going to have the relationship with Him that He wants to have with us. There are four character traits of a finisher. Focused pursuit requires a clear eye for the goal, for the vision, keeping your eye on the prize when times are tough and when times are not so tough. Number two, character trait, an undivided heart. That's what I just talked about. Single-mindedness, deep conviction from the heart. So the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, James 1:8. A divided heart produces confusion and uncertainty and instability. A singular heart produces conviction, direction, and determination aimed at pleasing God, finishing what God has begun in us. Number three trait, driving intensity, a little fire in the belly. I call it healthy heat, righteous indignation, deep determination, perseverance when times are tough, forgetting and driving on and finishing strong, getting our eyes off the obstacles and setting them straight on God. You see, one man's anxiety is another man's adrenaline. What is apprehension for one is anticipation for another. See, there was an American shoe company that sent a salesman to a remote country to sell shoes. And when he got there, he looked around and he saw that nobody was wearing shoes. So he called back home and he said, get me out of here. These people don't even wear shoes. So they sent another salesman. And the salesman got there, and he looked around, and he said, nobody has shoes. So he called back home, and he said, hey, send me all the shoes you can get. This is a gold mine. And that's the truth. It's all in our perspective, how we view things, and the fire in our belly. A certain confidence is number four. A biblical optimism, call it faith. Our confidence has to be in God and His Word. If God says it, that settles it. God never said life would be easy. The truth is, it wouldn't be so hard if we didn't expect it to be so easy. Remember, in the Christian life, it's not how you begin, but how you finish. Solomon wrote, "A righteous man falls seven times and rises again," Proverbs 24:16. It's called growth. It's called a journey, a race, a long, hard race, riding the altar all the way to heaven. The Holy Spirit says, don't stop. Keep after it. Focus on Jesus and your falls will be fewer and your joy will be greater. And I ran across this poem in the Tender Warrior book, which I thought was just great. And I'm going to kind of wind down with that. It's about a boy in a race who keeps falling down and he keeps getting up because he wants to please his father. Defeat, he lay there silently, a tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. I'm out. Why try? I've lost, so what's the use, he thought. I live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad that he would soon have to face. Get up, and an echo sounded low. Get up and take your place. You are not meant for failure here, so get up and finish the race. He resolved to win or lose. At least he wouldn't quit. And to his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me, you won, his father said. You rose each time you fell. And now when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Quit, give up, you're beaten, they still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, get up and win this race. When life's journeys get so difficult that it feels too much to bear, just remember we don't walk alone. Our Almighty God is there. Men, let's resolve ourselves to be men built with our house built upon the solid rock. I want to finish with two very short scriptures that just are powerful and meaningful. He that have ears, let him hear. Matthew 11:15. And the disciples went and did. Matthew 21:6. Men, be strong. Stay strong and finish strong. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. God, we pray, Lord, that your word has been pleasing to you. Thank you for these guys. Pray, Father, for the table talk. I ask your blessings upon them. Surround them with your love. We pray, God, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.